you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 119. I don't want to be redundant, but I do in the introduction to each one of these messages just try to remind us that there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each one of these sections of 8 verses begins with a letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and then each one of the verses in that section in the Hebrew alphabet would begin with the same letter. Today we're looking at a section of Scripture that would be, I believe, the third section. We have the Aleph, and then that's verse 1 through 8, and then Beth was verse 19 through verse 16. Today we're going to look at that section, the third letter, and it's pronounced Gimel. Actually, I got that wrong. It's not like a J, it's a G like in girl. Gimel, Gimel is how it's pronounced. Those things are not easy for me, but I try to study and try to get it right. But anyway, we're in that section, verse 17 down through verse number 24. The word of God said, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Our text today is found in verse 18 where it said, open thou mine eyes that I might behold, or that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I believe that's a verse of scripture that we could incorporate into our prayer life. Every time we open our Bible, every time we go to study, it's just, Lord, would you open my eyes? I thought about when I was prepared to preach that Brother John, he was testifying a little bit in Sunday school a while back, and he talked about how he heard the gospel, and he heard the gospel, and he heard the gospel, and then one day he heard the gospel. Some people don't understand what he's talking about there. But I tell you, Brother John, what come to my mind is one day God opened your eyes. Amen. It's kind of like reading the Bible and reading the Bible and reading the Bible. But then one day God just opened your eyes. Amen. Let you see wondrous things out of his law. And then he said, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Well, what a revival we could have in our land if just God's people, listen, just God's people would develop that longing for the Word of God, that place where they couldn't wait to get back to the Bible. It would be a wonderful thing. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. I would like to preach for a little while this morning on open thou mine eyes. And God gave me three simple thoughts that I just want to look at in this little section of scripture. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning. Lord, we know that it's a day that Lord, many will be talking about love. Many will be trying to express their love. But Lord, we do love you, and it's all because you first loved us. Lord, I remember the night you saved me, going home and telling Miss Eve, Lord, that I was afraid I never knew anything about love until Jesus came into my heart. Lord, there's a world that knows a love that only the world knows. But then, Lord, God's people, they know your love. They know what happened at Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd warm our hearts. Help us, our Father, this morning. And God will give you glory. Save the lost. Strengthen the child of God in Jesus' name. And amen and amen. I forgot a while ago I mentioned Sister Ruth, but I forgot to mention Jeremiah. The youth group has another Jeremiah now. No, it's Isaiah. Oh, goodness, I'm glad you didn't have to straighten me out, Isaiah. Amen. Well, anyway, another prophet. How's that? Amen. And so we're glad to have Isaiah with us. And Zach, we appreciate you bringing Isaiah with you this morning. You're putting your life on the line when you ride with that boy, Isaiah. I can tell you that right now. I was sitting at the end of Carrollwood when he turned in the other day, and he didn't know it was Pastor in the truck. But anyway, I knew it was Zach in his truck. You can't miss Zach in his truck. Amen. That's awesome, isn't it? Good to see you this morning. Let's get right into the Word of God. Open thou mine eyes. The third letter in the Hebrew alphabet, I told you a while ago, pronounced Gimel, it means complete. The numeric value is 3, which would speak of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And certainly we are complete in Him. Amen. Everything is all out of order without Him, but in Him we are complete. Now the Bible said, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, I want to look at 3 things this morning. The first thing I want us to see is that in the Bible, we see the goodness of God. And that is a wondrous thing when we are able to see the goodness of God. In the text, he said, deal bountifully with thy servant. How many of you could honestly say this morning, now, not just from your mouth, not just from your mind, how many could say from your heart, God's been good to me? Amen. And I had a warm place to sleep last night. I had a warm meal last night. I had Miss Eve to bring me a biscuit for breakfast this morning when she came up to the church. I'm just telling you, listen, I've got friends. I've got family. I have access to the throne of God. I have a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I just want to tell you, God's been good to me. Amen. I believe God's been gooder to us than we'll ever be to Him, don't you? Amen. God has been good. And it's in the Bible that we see the goodness of God. He said, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. I believe this morning we'd have to say God has dealt bountifully with us and He's been good to us. Let me give you a couple of things right here. God is good when we need provision. You say, preacher, deal bountifully. Provision is a wondrous thing. The Word of God said, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. I thought about when God brought provision to those 5,000, and that was 5,000 men, besides the women and children. But Philip said, Lord, he said 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't be enough. How, it reads like this, 200 penny worth is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And God said, Jesus said, what do we have here? They said, well, we don't, all we have is a little lad, a little lunch, a couple of fishes, and 5 small loaves. And I just wonder how many in that crowd was saying, boy, God's good. Amen. As Jesus asked a blessing over that and began to break it and began to pass it out, I got to thinking, listen, that's 5,000 besides the women and the children. The Lord only knows exactly how many people were there that day. And many of them, Brother Arnold, may have been off from the Savior and not being able to see the source of this. All they saw was a disciple coming by with a basket and feeding them. Amen. And by the way, they got full. And if you'll eat at His table, you'll get full too. Amen. And then they had 12 baskets left over. But those disciples, the ones that had to just come and get the basket, take the basket out, I guarantee you by the time that event was over, they were saying God is good in His provision. We have seen Him work and provide for His people. I thought about in the Word of God, not only that time when the Bible talked about the bread and Jesus feeding the 5,000. But I thought about that woman. There cried a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4. Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save, or that would mean except, a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors.
empty, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Now, the other way to say that was get all of them you can. Get a bunch of them, amen. And he said, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now listen to me. How'd you like to be one of them boys? How'd you like to be one of them boys that thinks, boy, I don't know, maybe mama's lost it. Amen. We're going out here to all the neighbors and borrowing these vessels. Amen. And they come in. How'd you like to see the look in their eyes when their mama just kept a pouring and kept a pouring and kept a pouring? And they knew there was something going on. I tell you what I believe. I believe in the middle of all of it, one of them stopped and said, boy, God's been good. Amen. God is good. He's meeting the need. And we need to open the law of God, the word of God, and see that God is no respecter of person, just like he met the need with the 5,000, just like he met the need with the widow. He'll meet your need and he'll meet mine just as well. Amen. In the Bible, we see the goodness of God. The Bible said it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. He said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. You know, I believe there's an application there. You know what God needs in this generation? Just a vessel. He's got plenty of oil. Somebody say amen. All in the Word of God is a type of the Holy Ghost. All God needs is an empty vessel. And he'll fill that vessel. He'll use that vessel for his honor and for his glory. Then she came, told the man of God. He said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. There was enough to pay the debt and left over to live on. Amen. Ain't that just like God? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. The word of God said, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. I believe a lot of people are missing a blessing because they're not looking in the word of God and seeing the goodness of God that God wants us to see. The Bible said, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. He said, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. How many believes that? Listen, our Father knows what we need even before we ask, but he desires that you and I fellowship with him and ask him. And he said, he will meet that need. I read this. I thought it was great. Missionary statesman Hudson Taylor, you've heard of him, surely. He was a missionary to China. He had complete trust in God's faithfulness. Listen, in his journal he wrote, our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. He said, we do not expect that he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. What a blessing that the man of God experienced the provision of God. We're living in a generation, listen, mom and dad, don't ever be guilty of this. You'll be sorry. If you're not sorry in this world, you'll be sorry at the judgment seat. I tell you, if that youngin' or that grand youngin' believes God wants them to serve him, don't you get to trying to make 1 + 1 = 2. You better teach them to trust God. If God's calling you, God will provide for you. We're living in a generation where if a young man says something to mom and dad, many times they'll say, son, you'll starve to death. Let me tell you something about God's youngins. They're not going to starve. They'll make it just fine. And at the judgment seat, we'll be sorry if we don't get behind those that God has touched and called into the ministry. Amen. I believe that Hudson Taylor had it right. Every good and perfect gift comes down. Now, let me give you this. Not only do we see God's provision when we look into the Bible, he opens our eyes. By the way, I could give you many, many, many more examples of that, how that God has met the need and met the need and met the need. And I'll tell you this, in my life, he's met the need. over and over and over. I could stand here till midnight tonight and tell you how that God has worked on behalf of our family, how that God has met the need. I was thinking yesterday, I got a text from Charity, and she said Olivia's wearing her glasses, and she doesn't even have to have a headband. She just got them on. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say there's a bunch of people around here Wednesday night praying. And I just believe God's going to answer our prayer. I got up to the hospital yesterday, and a lady told me the story how that her neighbor had to wear, the little boy had to wear the patch and had to wear the glasses, and said he didn't need surgery. I believe God's trying to encourage this preacher to pray on a little more. Amen. Believe God a little more. God will provide. Amen. Whatever that need is, He will provide. Listen, not only is there that provision, God wants us to see in the Bible the goodness of God, and that there's that goodness when we need provision, but there's also that goodness God wants us to see when we need protection. And the Word of God said, it's a wondrous thing. Open my eyes that I might behold thy law. Amen. Behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's a wondrous thing when we need protection and when we see God come through. Let me read this example, 2 Kings 6:15. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master." He's saying to Elijah, "How shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not." He said, "For they that be for us, with us, are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed, and this is what he said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." In other words, Elisha knew about the hedge. Elisha knew about the protection. Elisha knew it was going to be all right. But the servant of the man of God didn't know. And I'll tell you, sometimes that's us. Well, what we need is God to open our eyes, not just to see the provision, but to see the protection that He's given to you and given to me. Listen, Elisha prayed, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Oh, listen to me. Can I say this? I know that when you look at the externals, that in this world and in this country, we're in the minority. But I want you to just know this, take note of this morning. They that be for us are more than they that be against us. Hallelujah. One preacher said it like this: one man and God makes a majority. I like that, don't you? I tell you, we can stand up for Jesus because we know that He is protecting us. John Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands. One night, hostile natives surrounded the mission station, intent on burning out the Pattons and killing them. And by the way, let me just stop and say this. Christians right now in America have it made compared to a lot of places in the world. Many of God's people are under intense, intense persecution. And they're being killed. And they can't even have a Bible out in public. Amen. But listen, the Bible said, or this John Patton was a missionary. He believed the Word of God. The natives that surrounded the mission, intent on burning the Pattons and killing them. Patton and his wife prayed during the terror-filled night that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers leave. A year later, the chief of the tribe was saved. He was converted to Christ. Remembering what had happened, Patton asked the chief what had kept him from burning down the house and killing them. The chief replied in surprise, "Who were all those men with you there?" Patton knew no men were present, But the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission station. I tell you, I'll catch you on Hallelujah Boulevard when we get over there and see how many times he's protected us and we didn't even know it. Amen. Open thou our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, beloved friend, we need to behold and see his provision. God has been good, the goodness of God in his provision and the goodness of God in his protection. David said, by the way, if you ever feel like you're going to faint, please dig this verse up. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen, God don't want us just to see his goodness in heaven by faith over yonder. God wants us to see right here, right now, how good he's been to you and to me. Amen. How good he's been. I tell you, God's been good the Bible way. And we should never forget that. You say, preacher, I like the church. Well, if you do, it's because God's here. It ain't because of any of us. Say amen right there. You say, preacher, I think God's blessing the church. He is. It's him blessing the church. I told you one Wednesday night when I before I ever said I'd consider being pastor. It's his church. It's his work. And he'll do it till Jesus comes. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. He'll provide for the church. Whatever we need, our God will supply that need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In the Bible, not only we see the goodness of God. By the way, the second thing here, this is where the goodness of God is supposed to point us. In the Bible, we also see the grace of God. The goodness of God, the Word of God said, leadeth thee to repentance. Listen, a lot of times that verse is used in reference to sinners. And certainly when a sinner understands how good God's been to them, I believe it has that potential to lead them to repentance. But I'm going to tell you something else. It works for saints too. I tell you, there have been some times in my Christian experience when God made me so ashamed of myself. Listen, sometimes God will get out his belt and he'll whoop you for doing what's wrong. Somebody help me. That's called chastisement. But I tell you, I serve a God. He knows what's best sometimes. He'll just smother you with his goodness until you repent. Amen. And get things right with God. In the Bible, we see not only the goodness of God, but we see the grace of God. Listen to what the Bible said here, Acts 26 and 18, to open their eyes. You see, nobody sees the grace of God unless God opens their eyes. Amen? They think, well, I'm all right. That's the way people think. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. People will run around saying things like this. Well, I tell you, if that Anthony makes it to heaven, I know I'll make it. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Brother Anthony, whether it's you or me, they're foolish for looking at us and comparing their life to us. Amen? You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, well, man, get baptized real good in the grace of God when he looks in the Word of God. That's where he'll see the grace of God. That's where he'll see himself a sinner. That's where he'll see Jesus the Savior. That's where he'll see, my friend, that Calvary's the only way out of this mess. That's where he'll see there is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. Sin is still wrong. Amen. And God is still holy. That's where he'll see it. Right in the Bible. In the Bible, we see the grace of God to open their eyes. Acts 26, 18. To turn them. That word turn lines up with repentance. If people are going down the road the wrong way, and they say, well, I want to get saved, and they make a profession of faith, and they keep going the wrong way, they didn't get saved. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, live soberly and righteously in this present world. If there's no change, there's no Christ in that person's life. Repentance toward God, faith, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you find that? In the Bible. That's where we see the grace of God. Open their eyes. Turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God. That they might receive forgiveness of sin. And inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. I'll tell you something right now. I'm glad, thank God, I had a pastor when I was lost that opened that Bible just like it was and preached it just like it was to me, just like I was. And God let me see in the Word of God that I was in trouble. Brother Johnny, while y'all were singing this morning in the choir, he lifted me out. Y'all can think whatever you want to. But I sometimes I just get pictures. And my dad used to like to watch them old westerns. And if you watch them old westerns very long, somebody's going to end up in quicksand. Ain't that right? And I tell you, hallelujah for the day when somebody comes by with a horse and got a rope. Amen. Well, glory. That's what I felt like. I was sinking in quicksand. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. But here come a Savior. Hallelujah. He had a rope of grace, and He rescued me out of that quicksand and set my feet upon that firm ground and made a difference in my life for the glory of God. Oh, beloved friend, listen. Sometimes a horse or a mule, but sometimes a guy would just run over there and get a stick. Well, just an old common stick, and reach it over in there. That guy knew, listen, well, there's something good right here too. I didn't plan on saying none of this. But he knew, Brother Johnny, he couldn't get in that quicksand. Because he can't help the guy in the quicksand if he's in the same quicksand he's in. Honey, I want you to know right now the difference between the Savior and Christianity and all those other isms is those other isms, their Savior's cut out of the same flesh and blood we are. But we got one that was holy, harmless, born of a virgin. One that, my friend, never stepped in the quicksand. Never sinned. Oh, that stick. I got to thinking about God one day. He got two sticks. Hallelujah. You say, how in the world, what is it that God reaches out to a man that's sinking deep in sin? I'll tell you what it is. It's the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross that'll get him out of that mess that he's in. Nothing else. In the Bible, we see the grace of God. In the Bible, we see the goodness of God. I want to give you an illustration. It's a little bit lengthy, but boy, it spoke to my heart. Longing to leave her poor Brazilian neighborhood, Christina wanted to see the world. Discontent with a home, having only a pallet on the floor, a wash basin, and a wood-burning stove, she dreamed of a better life in the city. One morning she slipped away, breaking her mother's heart, knowing what life on the streets would be like for her young, attractive daughter. Maria hurriedly packed to go find her. On her way to the bus stop, she entered a drugstore to get one last thing, pictures. She sat in the photograph booth, closed the curtain, and spent all that she could on pictures of herself. With her purse full of small black and white photos, she boarded the next bus to Rio de Janeiro. But Maria knew that Christina had no way of earning money. She also knew that her daughter was too stubborn to give up. When pride meets hunger, a human will do things that were before unthinkable. Knowing this, Maria began her search. Bars, hotels, nightclubs, any place with a reputation for streetwalkers or prostitutes. She went to them all. At each place, she left her picture taped on a bathroom mirror, tacked to a hotel bulletin board, fastened to a corner phone booth. And on the back of each photo, she wrote a note. It wasn't too long before both the money and the pictures ran out, and Maria had to go home The weary mother wept as the bus began its long journey back to her small village. It was a few weeks later that young Christina descended the hotel stairs. Her young face was tired. Her brown eyes no longer danced with youth, but spoke of pain and fear. Her laughter was broken. Her dream had become a nightmare. 1,000 times over, she had longed to trade these countless beds for her secure pallet. Yet the little village was in too many ways too far away. As she reached the bottom of the stairs, her eyes noticed a familiar face. She looked again, and there on the lobby mirror was a small picture of her mother. Christina's eyes burned and her throat tightened as she walked across the room and removed the small photo. Written on the back was this compelling invitation: "Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home." Glory to God, I tell you. You say, "Preacher, I don't know how you can get excited about that." In the Bible is where I saw a picture of Jesus. In the Bible is where I heard the Lord say, "It doesn't matter, Rick, what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've become. It doesn't matter what you've done. Just come home. Come home." It's in the Bible that we see a picture of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Oh, beloved friend, I don't know about you, but I believe with all of my heart, when that prodigal son was down there with them pigs, hogs, if you please, I believe Brother Stevie had to be thinking things like this: "Boy, it don't smell like this back in Daddy's house. Boy, I tell you, we had some fine meals back in Daddy's house. Here I am asking for the husk, trying to eat, trying to stay alive." And I tell you, his attitude changed down there. Down there, he began to think, "What would I say to Daddy?" He said, "I know what I'll say. Daddy, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Lord, Daddy, if you'll just give me a spot out there in the barn with them hired servants, that'd be so much better than where I've been." But how many, when you met your heavenly Father, found out, hallelujah, he would have none of that, amen? He's going to bring you right to the King's table. He's going to forgive you. It's in the Bible we behold the grace of the living Lord. I think about Mephibosheth. David said, "Is there any left of the house of Saul?" Boy, think about that. Think about how Saul treated David. He said, "Is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And they said, "There's one Mephibosheth. He's down there in Lodabar." They said, "Go get him." And you know what he wanted? He didn't want him to sit down there at the gate and beg. He said, "I want you to bring him up here. He's lame on his feet. I want you to slide him right in. Slide his legs right in. He's going to eat bread at the king's table, not once in a while, but continually." I say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I didn't know what to think that night when I came and asked Jesus to save me. But I've been getting good bread ever since. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible, we find the grace of God. Oh, listen. We see the goodness of God. We see the grace of God. Let me give you this in closing. I'm excited this morning. I hope you are. When I read that line, Brother Brian, my heart turned upside down. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've become. By the way, I've always said I believe a mother's love is the closest thing to God's love that you'll ever find on this earth. Amen. Mama said, "Just come home. Just come home." Now listen, the last thing I want you to see: "Open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law." We see the goodness of God. We see the grace of God.
Then the last thing I want you to see in verse number 19, it said, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. It's in the Bible that we see the glory of God. You see, Lazarus had died. He had been dead for 4 days. And Martha and Mary both, they said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother had not died. And Jesus said something like this to Martha and Mary. He said, said I not unto thee, if you would believe, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Now you say, preacher, I don't understand what that's got to do with being a stranger in the earth. Let me say something. When we experience God's goodness and it leads us to God's grace and we experience God's grace, I believe at that moment we understand this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The heavens beckon me. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You say, Jesus said, if thou wouldest believe. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I hope in Psalm 119 that God is impressing upon our hearts, young people, older people, in between people, all of us alike, that that Bible is so important. It is so important in our lives. Sirs, who was it said that? Philip. We would see Jesus. Well, can I tell you this? It'll be hard to see him on the 5 o'clock news. But you won't open that Bible and stay in it long and you won't see him. You'll see him, amen? He's all over that Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. In my Bible, I don't know what yours says, but when you get over to the Revelation, it says the revelation of St. John the Divine. But the first verse contradicts that in Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, God used John to pin it down. But that Bible is not about revealing the prophets. It's not about revealing, my friend, man's accomplishments. It's about revealing our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see the glory of God when we look into the Word of God. My dad's favorite song, let me think just a minute and I'll get the title of it. What is it, brother? What a day that'll be. Thank you, Brother Larry. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face. Because of God's goodness in Dad's life, because of God's grace in Dad's life, Dad got to experience God's glory. Moses said, show me thy glory. Now listen to me carefully. God's glory in its fullness would kill this house of clay. God did tell Moses, said, I'll hide you in the rock. I'll put my hand up there and I'll let you see my hinder parts. The fullness of God's glory, this fleshly body, could not stand. So what's God going to do? He's going to change us. He's going to give us a body like unto His glorious body, where we could look upon His face. Where do you see that, preacher? In the Bible. Open thou mine eyes, that I might continue to see your goodness, Lord. That I might continue to see your grace, Lord. That, Lord, one day after a while, we get snippets here and there of God's glory. I thought about Sister Thelma. You've talked to Miss Eve and I several times about Long's Bend, the church down there across the river in Sir Goinsville. I was down there, Brother Rick, in an Easter service.
And, you know, I was filling the pulpit, Brother Randy. I was a missionary at the time. And I think maybe they didn't have a pastor at that time. But anyway, those 10 years, I can only remember preaching twice on Easter. That's not normally a day a missionary gets to preach on. But anyway, unless I was in prison, I did spend some Easter services in prison preaching. But in the churches, I can remember twice. And I was studying, Brother Steve, and I wanted to preach an Easter message. You know, wanted to encourage the church. And the Holy Spirit, as I was preparing, he said, I don't want you to talk about the resurrection today. I want you to see one. And I went in there. I don't even remember what the message was all about, but I know this. Sin got nasty that Easter Sunday. And we went to Calvary that Easter Sunday. And I didn't preach on the resurrection. I told the church when I got up to preach, I said, God don't want me to preach on the resurrection. He wants us to witness one. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? I said, somebody's here, they're dead in their trespasses and sin. God wants us to see the glory of God. God wants us to see somebody rescued out of that deadness, out of their trespass, out of their sin, made alive in Christ. Miss Eve, I think there was three, wasn't there, honey? There were four. Miss Eve got a better memory than me. There were four. He said, preacher, where'd they come from, that little country church, Florida? They were visiting a family for Easter from Florida. There were four resurrections. Four that came in the door dead in trespasses and sin. And God let us see them lifted out and saved by the grace of God. You say, preacher, that's just a little snippet of God's glory. You wait till we get home and we get to see him in all of his glory. It's going to be wonderful. Sometimes I can't hardly handle what he shows us down here. Amen. But I tell you what, I'll have a new body. The songwriter said, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Amen. A brand new body, like unto the Son of God. I want to close the message with this morning. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever you've become, come home. Come home. Let me ask you something. I think it was Maria in that story that was the mom. Is that right? Christina was the daughter. Is that right? What do you think Maria thought when she opened that door and there stood her daughter? How many believes there was joy? Unspeakable. How about this? Full of glory. I'll tell you this morning. If you've wandered far away from God, the songwriter said, Lord, I'm coming home. And I believe with all of my heart this morning, you'll meet a Father that'll be so pleased. There'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. I hope that you never, ever, by the way, this would be a good time to say to Amanda and Josh, I don't think you're going to call the second one Camden, but Camden, he's already preaching it. I'm going to have a little brother, going to be just like me. That's better than him being like Josh, I can tell you that right now, amen. You're welcome, Brother Josh, amen. But they're going to have a little baby. I hope and pray that you all never have to experience a wayward youngin'. So many have. I was talking about little Warner yesterday evening, brother. I just believe God got a... I don't make no difference in the youngins, but they're just something. I just believe God got a special purpose and plan that I hope you and Amanda never have to experience a wayward youngin'. But how many believes that our Heavenly Father specializes in wayward youngins? He's had so many of them, Brother Houston, down through the years. They're no problem at all for him. Every time one of them comes home, he just gets a big smile. He's not waiting with a big stick to beat you. He's waiting with big arms to love you and to embrace you. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever you've become, come home. Come home. Open thou my eyes. Brother Brian, you're a teacher. How many preachers are here today? How many preachers? One, two, three, four. How many have taught Sunday school? Ladies and men, how many have taught Sunday school? Bunch of you. How many of you can remember times in your life when there's something you had read it over and over and over, and you looked at it with your eyes and you read it, but one day God opened your eyes. How many knows what I'm talking about? And it just like Brother Jim, it jumped off the page in Boxcar Letters. That's what God's talking about. Let's stay with the book. Ask Him to open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of His law. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Thank you for coming. Our Father, this morning, I'm so thankful, God, for the Bible. Lord, I'm thankful for Your goodness, for Your grace. Thankful, Lord, for Your glory. And Lord, I don't know who You might be speaking to this morning. Perhaps someone has never met Jesus. Perhaps someone, Lord, that's drifted far from the peaceful shore. God, I pray today that they'd come home. I pray, Lord, today for those that have wayward children, Lord. God, that we wouldn't give up, that we would continue to pray, that we would continue to trust God. Lord, till one day we see Him come home. Lord, today, thank You for Psalm 119. Truly, Lord, You've stirred my heart in this psalm. I pray, Lord, that that was spread from bosom to bosom. God, that You'd kindle a revival of the Word of God in our churches, in our homes, in our country, Lord. Lord, if men would just begin to look to God and look to Your Word, they'd understand what's right and what's wrong. God, I just pray, have Your way in this invitation.